your Holy Spirit live with me, lead me, guide me.
Your promises never leave my side.
I know your promises as good as gold. They never, never grow old.
For all you've done, I owe you my life.
You died for me. You did for me.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. The Portland area is facing winter weather conditions and expected to last between December 25th and January 3rd. Multnomah County has declared a state of emergency and is opening emergency winter shelters. Members of the public can take online training and then volunteer for shifts at one of the 5 warming centers in different parts of Portland. Please look out for your houseless neighbors and help spread the word about the warming shelters, which will open December 25th at 3 p.m. and remain open 24 hours a day during the severe weather. More information and links to sign up to volunteer at warming centers, as well as flyers to print out, can be found at the website multco.us/cold. That's multco.us/cold.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/kboomradio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/kboo.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kboo radio.
We also provide content to the free music archive.
An interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/kboo.
You can find all this and more on the KBOO website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Welcome to an Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today we have a full hour program for you, featuring Dr. Omar Abdullah talking about matters of the heart.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Among the greatest of all blessings and the blessing which is the foundation of the community is the bringing together of the hearts, and everything in the prophetic religion is about the heart. If the heart is right, then you are right. If the heart is wrong, then you are wrong. If the heart is healthy, you are healthy. If the heart is sick, you will be sick. If the heart is open to happiness, you will be infinitely happy, even if things don't go well. And if the heart is unhappy and closed to happiness, nothing else will make you happy. So the heart is the foundation of our identity, and it is the very basis of God's religion. And matters of the heart are what matter. They are not superficial. They are not peripheral. They are absolutely core. Allah Azza wa Jal created before his prophet the greatest miracle of all, you know, which was bringing together around him the incredible community of his companions, and then bringing around them all of the Arabian Peninsula coming into Islam, and then the lands of Syria and Iraq and Iran and Central Asia and North Africa and so forth. I mean, this is a great miracle, and it was a great mercy, and it completely altered the course of humankind. But this miracle was based in Ta'lif al-Qulub. It was based in the power to bring hearts together. And of all the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was one of the greatest ones. And to the extent that we're able to take from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and truly inherit from him, then we ask Allah to put this gift in the inheritance. This is when the deen works, when the religion is a religion that makes people happy to be with each other. It makes people open to other people and able to help them and to receive them. And it's all about the sanity of the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the end of his prophetic career, in the Medinan period, after the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud and the battle of the trench, then came the time when he had now a strong following. The fact that he would be, inshallah, ultimately victorious was now coming to be clear even to his worst enemies. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed his companions, men and women among them, to put on the ihram and to go with him to perform the umrah, the lesser pilgrimage. The word umrah is a very beautiful word. It actually means visitation. And in fact, when we visit each other, that's an umrah. And we talk about imarat al-masajid, which is sometimes translated as bringing the mosques to life. But actually it means to visit the mosque, and by visiting the mosque to bring it to life. So now they are going to visit the house of Allah and to do umrah. And all of you have read this beautiful story in the seerah, and you've heard scholars and others talk about it. And they're a large group of people. They're a host, an army. And they're coming down in peace. They wear ihram. There will be no fighting. There will be no hunting. And as you know, they approach Al-Hudaybiyah, which today, if you go from Jeddah to Mecca, is very close to that inspection point that's the last major one before you go into the Haram and then ultimately into Mecca. That's called Ash-Shumaisi. And Al-Hudaybiyah is just to the northeast of that. And so they stop him at Al-Hudaybiyah because Al-Hudaybiyah is outside the sanctuary. The Haram area will begin not long after Shumaisi. If you go through that inspection point, you then go up a hill, and at the top of that hill, you're now in the Haram. You're now in the sanctuary of Abraham. And that goes all the way to the west. How many miles? Maybe 40 or 50 miles. I'm just estimating, until you come to Arafat. Arafat, where the pilgrims go, that's where the Haram ends. That's the east-west or the west-east borders. So they know that if they're going to stop him, they've got to stop him before the sanctuary, even though they're not supposed to stop him. That's the ancient pre-Islamic Abrahamic custom. And of course, you know that they don't stop the prophet with good intentions. And they actually want to just prohibit him from coming in. They're afraid that his presence in Mecca will lead to the religion spreading, and that whatever they have, they won't be able to hold it. And so, of course, they stop him. And they then want to have an armistice, sulh, the sulh of Hudaybiyah. And the companions are very upset by that because of the fact that this is wrong. They have come to make Umrah. They didn't come for any political reason. They just want to go to the house of Allah. And who are you to stop us? You are mushrikeen. You have no right even to be in the haram. And, you know, one of the things that Allah praises the Sahaba for in the Quran is that he sent down Sakina on them at that time. And therefore they were peaceful. And they controlled their anger, and they controlled their furor, and they controlled their tribal pride. Whereas Quraysh didn't do that. And the Quran mentions that also. They were taken by Hamiyat al-Jahiliyyah. They were taken by the vehemence of ignorance, of pride, and so forth. So the Sahaba know that this is a trick. Quraysh doesn't want peace with us. They simply don't want us to come into the haram, and they want to buy time so that maybe they can catch up with us. And Allah revealed these beautiful verses, وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ, even though they should desire or will to deceive you, referring to Quraysh, like they do. They're not sincere, you know. They want to deceive you. وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah is all that you need. Don't worry about that. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ. It is He, Allah, no other. Not any human force, not even any natural force, not special weapons. It is He who came to your aid. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ. وبالمؤمنين, you know, and he also came to your aid with the believers. وألف بين قلوبهم, and he brought their hearts together. He did تأليف between their hearts, also indicating that this is the foundation of their strength. It's not that they're good fighters or they're brave men and women, but it's the fact that they love each other. They trust in each other. Their hearts are together. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Even if you had spent all of the wealth that's in the earth, all the gold and silver and emeralds and other types of wealth, you would have never been able to bring their hearts together. You, the Prophet, is not talking about us. Of course, we would never be able to do that. But He, who is the most beautiful and perfect of all things God created and of all human beings, naturally beloved by the believer, okay? But even He, the Prophet, would not have been able to bring these hearts together if He had all the money in the world. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. But it is God, and only God, who has brought this ta'lif between them. Innahu azizun hakim. He is almighty, and He is glorious, aziz, hakim, and wise in all that He does. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet, hasbukallah. God is repeated. God is all you need. You don't need anything else. And neither do you. Hasbukallah, wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin, and those who follow you among the believers. This is an amazing verse. And of course, the Prophet will take the Bay'atul Ridwan, the oath of allegiance of God's pleasure, at before Hudaybiyah. That's part of the perfect design of Allah. So that this Bay'ah, which is a major part of the Sunnah of the Prophet, is taken prior to that. And this, of course, confirms the reality of these hearts that are secretly together and openly together, but it affirms this allegiance of obedience. We hear and we obey, and this has to be done because this will be the greatest test of all, or certainly one of the greatest tests, only to be equaled by something like the passing of the Prophet ﷺ a few years later. Okay, because that was certainly the biggest test, or certainly one of the biggest tests of all. So he takes the oath of allegiance, like, you hold firm. You know, if I tell you to do this, you do it, whether you like it or not. And of course, as you know, the Prophet ﷺ is received by the representative of Quraysh. This man will become a Muslim later, and he will tell us about the conquest of Mecca, and he'll tell us about the, and he is the one, you know, who will speak on behalf of Quraysh, and when the Prophet comes into Mecca victoriously, you know, after a few years after that, two or so years after that, and he is, then the Prophet will say, you know, what do you think I'm going to do to you? And he will say, Akhun Kareem, Ibn Akhin Kareem, O Messenger of Allah, he says. Before, in this sulh, he won't even say Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, if we knew that, there wouldn't be any dispute. So he spoke Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Okay, but he is the one who will address the Prophet in Mecca later and say, Ya Rasulullah. He would say, O Messenger of God, I know you are that now. I didn't know that before. Akhun Kareem, you are a noble, generous brother. You are the son of Abdullah, our noble, generous brother. And of course, the Prophet treats them as Joseph treated his brothers. And he said, Antum tulaqa, you're free. Go to your homes. And then they come into Islam amazingly. But even in that period after the armistice, that period of, unfortunately, I don't remember exactly how long, but it's about 2 years, a little bit less, I believe. And during that period, Imam al-Zuhri, he says that the numbers of those who entered Islam during that short period of the armistice were, many times greater than those who had entered Islam over the last almost 20 years. You know, so there was great, it was a victory, and Allah declared it to be a victory. But again, at the core of this is ta'lif. And this is why, of all the things we do, the mosques we build, the schools we build, the books we write, you know, the attempts we do to make Islam known to ourselves and our people and to serve others, all the things that we do, the most important thing is the heart. And this is what you have to always pay attention to. And, look at your heart. Be aware of your heart. See how things register on your heart and judge yourself on that basis. This is really important because this is what it's about. And the more pure our hearts become and the more filled with knowledge and light, then the more amazing will be the things that we do. Allah Azza wa Jal is the bestower of bounties. He is the one who is the giver of gifts. Everyone in this room, he gave the gift of existence. Do you realize how miraculous that is? Because almost no one does. That you exist among an infinite series of possibilities of other identities that could have been in that place instead of you. And you are not random. You are you. You are you. And you are the only you that could have ever been and that will ever be. And it's not just that you're a particular configuration you know, of atoms and molecules and cells, who was given a certain name by a certain mother and father. No, that's not the reality. You know, you are an identity, and no one before you or after you could ever have that identity. This is who you are, and this is your sir. This is your secret, and you want to realize that as fully during this short life as you possibly can. We ask Allah to wake us up, and we ask Him to let us get our hearts right, and, you know, to work together. But this is what's really important, you know. And when we look at our hearts, among the most important thing is, how do you look upon the gifts that are given? Okay, so, mashallah, you know, you are who you are. You may be handsome, you may be beautiful. You may be not as handsome as others, you may be not as beautiful as others. You may be very articulate, you may not be. You may be very good at cooking, you may be very good at building, you may be very good at teaching, you may be very good at electronics or at computers or medicine or whatever it is. But all of us have gifts that are showered upon us, existence, life, consciousness, you know, that are beyond words. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. As Allah says twice in the Quran, if you were to account the blessing of God, singular, doesn't say the blessings of God, one blessing of God, your existence, your eyesight, your consciousness. In fact, one of the great commentators, he says, when we talk about the ni'mah of God, the one, then we mean the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the greatest of all blessings. Can you imagine how great that blessing is? No, you can't. You will know someday. You will know someday. He is the blessing of blessings. But all of the blessings we have, they are innumerable. That's why it's very important to count your blessings. Aren't you alive? Don't you see? I know that you have 1,000 problems. And I know that some of you also have tragedies in your life. And sometimes you face difficulties that are a great pain to you. And they don't ever seem to go away. And they may seem to even get worse. And sometimes you wonder, where is the light at the end of the tunnel? Will I ever be out of this situation? And it seems like no. And all of us who've lived longer lives than some of the young people, we know that sometimes you get locked into a conflict or a tribulation, might go on for 8 years, might go on for longer, and it's like there's no way out of this. When will there ever be a way out of this? Just have to be patient, okay? And then it's over, and it's almost as if it didn't happen. You walk away from it, and maybe you forget it. You know, so we all have to count our blessings, but one of the most important things for the heart is that ability to count blessings. And, you know, you had things, maybe they were taken away. You had wonderful experience, or maybe you didn't have wonderful experiences. You still have so many blessings that if you were to count them, you would not be able to do that at all. They are too great. Did you know that among the blessings you have, وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ, and He gave you of everything that you asked for. What did you ask for? The things you asked for. Everything Allah asked for, He gave you something of that. And asking is not just by the tongue. Asking is also by I want, I need. I want an education, and maybe you got one. I want to get married, and maybe you got married. And if you didn't, maybe you will. Okay? He gave you of everything that you asked. And again, one of the subtleties of Arabic, and the Sahaba understood this very well, is that this has in it ellipsis. And it has in it, He gave you of everything that you asked and everything you didn't ask. That's ellipsis. وَمَا لَمْ تَسْأَلُوا. The Sahaba understood that because they knew the Arabic language. It's got this incredible power of ellipsis. Did you ask for the sun? Did you ask for the moon? Ever? Did you ask for the rain? Did you ask for, you know, springtime? Did you ask for flowers to bloom in the spring? And everything about this world around you is finely tuned for you, not for anyone else. You know, the distance between the earth and the moon is so precise, it's like it couldn't be a hair's width more exact. And if it were not, things would be different. You know, in the world of atoms, you know, the protons and the electrons have to be perfectly balanced. And they can be a little bit out of balance. You know, the electrons, negative charge, and the protons, positive charge, they've got to be almost identical. They can be a little bit off. How much? One part to 100 billion parts. If any of these atoms didn't have that fine, perfect tuning, what would happen? It would explode. If the atoms here got off just one part to 100 billion parts, this would all blow up like an atom bomb. And who's that for? For you. This world was created for you to live in it. And whether you know it or not, you are the center. No matter how much you think of yourself or how much you don't think of yourself, you are the center. So these are all blessings for you. The trees are for you. The birds are for you. The sun is for you. The stars are for you. This is even today in physics, in astrophysics and other physics, they call this the anthropic principle, which they've been talking about now for about 20 years or so. And astrophysics has taken that, they've taken it strange ways, because anything that smacks of design and a creator, they will bend over backwards to interpret it another way. That's kufr. That is kufr.
Allahu Akbar.
Because kufr is consciously concealing the truth. This is called the anthropic principle, because we know today that, in fact, all of that world, however vast you may believe it to be, according to the extrapolated world of modern science. This is very important to know this. Science is important. Science is beneficial, you know, but there's a difference between science and scientism. And we live in a worldview that is extrapolated mostly from mathematics and from the way the physicist participates in the world. Okay, and it's important to know that as useful or unuseful as these things are, they're all extrapolations. They're not necessarily statements about the real world. But this world is finely tuned for you. Modern physics talks about that a lot today. And the fact is that you can pick any other place in the world we see out there. And with almost, this is what modern physics would say, absolute certainty, it would be lethal for you. So this is the only one that counts. And everything there is related to this. It's amazing. It's amazing. So look at all the blessings. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies, they are for you. They are blessings for you. And you never ask for that. You ask for things like, you know, success in your career, success in your marriage, success with your wonderful children, if we can raise them properly, and so forth. Okay, so a good heart is conscious of that. Shukr, thankfulness, is the basis of belief. And kufr is the opposite of shukr, not the opposite of iman, semantically, you know. And what is shukr? Shukr is to recognize. Therefore, the more you recognize the bounties of Allah, the more thankful you are. You know, be thankful for everything you have. Okay, be conscious of what you have. And then respond to it appropriately. That's shukr. Kufr, which is covering up the truth, concealing the truth. Kufr always has in it recognition. Because the kafir the one who conceals the truth, he or she recognizes the truth and then refuses to acknowledge it. In modern science today, is filled with knowledge of the design that underlies creation that was not even conceivable to human beings just a few years ago. You know, we call that today a complex specified information, DNA, for example. The DNA which was there in all the creatures that we ever know about that lived on this earth, however and whenever they lived. You know, you have the Cambrian explosion of life. This is in the so-called Cambrian period, you know, that we talk about in the prehistory of the world, you know, where the fossil record shows that all these animals appear. They don't just evolve, they are there. That's called the Cambrian explosion. We've known about it from the days of Darwin. Darwin felt that it was a nasty trick of nature against him and his theory. Okay? But all of those animals had the same DNA that you've got. Viruses have the same, they have that same DNA structure, part of it that you have. This is complex, specified information. It cannot be possibly by chance. There's no way. You can't draw 10 coins out of your pocket in a predetermined set. Take 10 coins, let's say 10 pennies, and maybe number them, and just determine that I'm going to draw them out of my pocket in a particular order, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however you want. You won't be able to do that. Not unless you've got a lifetime to spend doing it. Okay? I mean, chance and random, they don't happen. And that's not chance and random. That's you putting your hand in the pocket, taking out pennies. Okay? Things don't happen by random. But the big thing for the heart is, first of all, know the blessings that you've got. And then secondly, how do you respond to the gifts that the infinite gift giver has given your sister and your brother and your mother and your father and your aunt and your cousin and other people?
You are listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Normally at this time, we would be cutting away to Pathways. This week we have a full hour program. Tune in next week for Pathways at its regularly scheduled time, Sundays at 8:30. And now back to Dr. Omar Abdullah talking about matters of the heart.
But the big thing for the heart is, first of all, know the blessings that you've got. And then secondly, how do you respond to the gifts that the infinite gift giver has given your sister and your brother and your mother and your father and your aunt and your cousin and other people? Because that is critical. That is absolutely critical. And of course, our hearts respond in different ways, and some are more perfect than others. And maybe we're not extremely happy about that. And maybe we don't care. But this is the touchstone. This is the key thing. When you know that your sister was given a gift that you were not given, does that make you happy or not? If it makes you happy, then you have a good heart. If it doesn't make you happy, then you've got to work on that. Who gave the gift? Allah. And he gave that gift in wisdom. And he gave that gift in infinite bounty. And everybody gets something different. You know, whatever you got inwardly and outwardly is uniquely your own. Whatever they got, you can probably only see the outward anyway. You don't know what the inward is, but you have to welcome that. When you look at all your brothers, you look at all your sisters, you look at even nations on earth, be happy that God gave them what he gave them. And beware of the heart that is not happy with that, because that is a heart which may not be sick. We have so many gradations, but it is not where it ought to be. These are really important things. And when Allah takes away a gift that he gave, so you know somebody who was healthy and active, and God forbid, now they're not healthy anymore. They're not active anymore. So how does your heart respond to that? Are you sad? That's good. That's good, because that means, inshallah, you've got a good heart. Are you happy? Even though you wouldn't say it to anybody, but you actually find this joy in your heart, you know, that, look at him now. Okay, that is very, very dangerous. And this is natural for us. Brothers and sisters in a family have natural rivalries. You know, I want my mother's love, and so does my sister, and so does my brother. Who do you love the most? I want my father's attention and his love, but so does my sister, and so does my brother. And mothers and fathers also respond differently to their children, because it may be that the baby of the family is the apple of their eyes, and it may be that someone else is. And the Prophet taught us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be wise, you know, try to show fairness to all of your children. Try not to show that you love this one more. Although, this is always what happens to us. Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved Benjamin. And he loved Benjamin more than he loved Lawi and Reuben and Issachar and the other brothers. And they knew that. And that was very hard for them to take. And if Jacob were your father, it would be very hard for you to take too. So brothers and sisters, we always have rivalries, and maybe they never go away in your whole lifetime. That always in his or her heart is that your mother loved you more than me. Your father always had a special place for you that he didn't have for me. We have teachers. We have other people, elders. We have people we want to be near to. We want to serve. We want to be accepted. And then what about him? He also wants to be near. He also wants to be near. She also wants. And so then also we would like something to happen that would put them away so that I can have the sheikh's attention. I can have the teacher's first spot. Okay, and these are things we have to be really careful about. You know, a woman may be very beautiful. Okay, and what happens when all of a sudden another woman comes into the gathering who is more beautiful than she? That may not be easy to take. A man may be gifted, or a woman with great knowledge. Okay, and what happens when somebody comes into our community who has so much knowledge, more knowledge than we? Thank God. You know, I mean, you take someone like Sheikh Muhammad al-Yaqubi, may Allah bless and protect him, you know. Who is his peer in knowledge? I'm not, not in any way, okay? So, isn't it something to rejoice over that we have somebody like him? Of course it is. And may Allah enable us to do that sincerely. These are the critical things of the heart. And this is why, watch your heart and look at how you respond. And every time that you see that somebody was given something that you were not given, you be happy about that. You make yourself happy about that. And if you don't feel happiness, well, you are the son or the daughter of Adam. This is one of our problems. We are natural rivals, okay? But if you don't have chuluk, if you don't have a character trait, you can get it, but you have to work on it. Okay, this is one of the amazing things about character. You know, character is what is easy for you to do. That's what we call character. That's your chuluk. So, for example, there are people right here that, you know, sometimes we've known for years, and you know that this particular brother or sister, they have a certain character trait. In other words, like they would, if you ask them to help you, they'd never turn you down. You know, if they meet you, they're going to always smile. Okay, those are character traits. Character traits are things that come easy. There are other people who it would be difficult for them to smile. And it would be difficult for them to help. Okay, and you can say, well, one's a better character trait than the other. It's true. But if you have the bad character trait, then you work on it. And then you can change it. Because this is one of the amazing things about character, that if you, for example, don't feel happy that somebody else got the job you wanted, you know, what if he got to marry the woman you wanted to marry? Or if she got to marry the husband you wanted to marry, right? How are you going to swallow that? You've got to. Did this happen by Allah's will or not? Was it Allah's will, wisdom or not? Are you going to go to war with Allah and His Maqadir? You want to go to war against the destiny of God and the decree of God? And who would be such a fool? But that's exactly what we're doing. When we look at the blessings that other people have and we don't welcome those blessings and we are not happy about them, then we're not happy about Allah's decree. We don't agree on His wisdom. And you don't want to go back to Allah like that. That's not a sane heart. That's not a healthy heart. You know, Allah gives freely as He gave to you freely. And he gives degrees to each of us, some over others. You know, لا تتمنوا ما فضل الله بعضكم على بعض. Do not covet that which Allah, that by which God has made some of you more excellent than others. You know, if we look at scholars, many of them are much more excellent, you know, than ourselves or of anyone we could imagine, right? So be thankful for that. You know, don't find that burdensome on your heart. And this pertains to everything. She got children, and maybe you didn't get children. All of these things we have to accept with happiness. Okay, and again, when the opposite occurs, and people are not given the thing that you were given, you don't want it to be taken away. And if it is taken away, watch your heart. And again, you pay attention to your heart, because your heart now will tell you who you are, and you need to know that now, not tomorrow. And so this person who was so great and so wonderful, did so many things, has now met with bad times. Things have gone downhill. Maybe he or she became senile towards the end of their life. Okay, are you happy about that? God forbid. And you have to be honest with yourself. You should be sad about that. And if you're not, make yourself sad about that. Because that's the character that you want to have. And again, this is lesson number one. This is the big one. You know, you see the bounties on you. Be thankful for them. And Allah will make them continue, and He will increase them. And if He takes away the blessing that He gave you, you accept that. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You do with me whatever you want. This is your mulk. I owe nothing. I own nothing. I have nothing. You gave me everything I have, and you will take it away if you will. I accept that. I accept that. Okay, and then that's not so hard, even though that's very hard. But then all of the other people, you know, he is smarter than I am. He knows more than I do. She knows more than I do. She is wiser than I am. So how do I deal with that? And again, as you know, most of us don't deal with that very well. We don't. And it manifests itself in rivalries. It manifests itself in other things. And the worst thing that can possibly come out of that is hesed, envy, in its different ways, and it destroys. Envy consumes good deeds like fire consumes wood. Okay, so we ask Allah to let us be people who watch our hearts, and people who care about our hearts, and people who purify our hearts. And once your heart is like that, ta'lif is, it goes without question, because there's nothing to stand in the way. And that's why also one of the most important things is that if our hearts are pure and we have no claims and we are the servants of God, then why should you serve me? Why shouldn't I serve you? Why shouldn't we serve each other? And when everyone becomes a khadim, everyone becomes a servant, no problem is too big. And when the inverse takes place, where I should be served, no, I should be served, and they were all makhdum, were all people to be served, no problem is too little, but that it's a major obstacle. It's all about the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ was a khadim. He was a servant. All creation serves him. All creation desires only to serve him. And yet he served all creation. That's how beautiful he was. He helped his wives. He helped the children. He helped the Sahaba. It's as if he didn't know the word no. He would always give you something. His time was precious, and yet he would give you all the time that you need, all the time that you want, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we ask Allah to fill our hearts, you know, with these realities, and to make these gatherings that we have feasts of the soul, feasts of the heart, and we get hearts that are, inshallah, pure and good. I remember that I knew a brother, you know, years and years ago, and a particular sheikh, whom this guy would know, he said, this man's heart is so big that if you threw in it a penny, you wouldn't hear it hit the bottom. That's the kind of hearts that we want, hearts that are huge and hearts that are empty because they don't have in them any collateral. They don't have in them any preoccupation with other than Allah. And hearts like that are hearts that are the miracle of the worlds. Those are the hearts that change everything. The heavens and the earth do not contain me, Allah says, but the heart of the believing, of my believing servant, it contains me. What in the world does that mean? The throne of Allah, what does it look like? The throne of Allah, the arsh, where is it? It's bila kayf. It has no how. It has no where, when, you know. It is the greatest thing that Allah created. You have no idea what it looks like. You have no idea how to position it. It's a word that is true. You know, but we use that word without really knowing what it means if we have knowledge. Okay? And Allah ascended the throne. Is the throne closer to Allah than you? If the throne could, it would will to be you instead of the throne. You are the one who has the means of approach. The throne can't get closer. It can't do that. As great as it is, you are much closer to Allah. Potentially, in any case, you are much closer to Allah. And when you prostrate and put your head on the floor in sincerity, may Allah enable us to do that, you know, then you are closer than the throne could ever be. So may Allah enable us to do this miracle, to see this miracle in our hearts. You know, self-consciousness is the great miracle. You are conscious of yourself. You're able to think about yourself. You have reflexive thought. You're able to judge yourself. And again, this is another sign of the heart. How much do you do that? And, you know, as you know, we people often develop states and stages where we are preoccupied totally with other people and other things, especially if somebody does something that we think is wrong to us, and they say things about us behind our backs, and they try to manipulate us, and they do things to us, and we can't even sleep at night, right? We're always thinking about him or thinking about her, and we wake up thinking, what a disaster. And, you know, this can be anger, and that anger can lead to worse things. And you just say, oh Allah, get this out of my heart. Get this out of my heart. You know, I want to be preoccupied with you, not with him, not with her. And of course, people do things that are wrong, and we should do something about that. But we should do it out of the spirit of equanimity. You know, our souls are balanced. We're not doing it out of wrath or hatred or anything like that. And this is why, once you get your heart empty, don't let anything get back in. No matter how you're tested, and you will be tested. That's the way this life works. You're going to always be tested. And inshallah, you'll be better at the tests. And then you get a bigger test after that. And when Allah takes us out of this world, we ask that he takes us out of this world with his pleasure. And that when we go back to him, there's nothing wrong with our hearts. And if we have real ta'lif, and that ta'lif has got to be active on our parts, and part of that activity is watch what your heart does. You know, watch, you've got to have joy that you have blessings, and you've got to have joy that everybody else has the blessings they've got. And you cannot be sad, you know, about that. And when harm comes to them, you've got to be sad. Don't be happy about that, okay? Then you will be good. You will be well. You will be light on the day of judgment. Your light will run before you. People will envy you for your light. People will ask you to give to them of your light. And you will be gathered together beneath the banner of praise, you know, with the Blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And maybe you will be closer to him than any of us. Because who sits closest to him? Those who are the best in character. Those who are the best in character. This is what it's all about. There is a day when what is in the hearts will be revealed. We will all be exposed on that day. And may none of us be embarrassed when that takes place. May none of us be dishonored. May none of us be ashamed, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbuhu wa tanda. Waja'alna min abidika su'ada. Wa'ammitna ala kalimati al-huda. علمنا ما ينفعنا ووفقنا للعمل بما علمتنا به واجعل ما نحن فيه خالصا مخلصا لوجهك الكريم يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعل تجمعنا هذا تجمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا بعده تفرقا معصوما لا شقيا منا ولا محروما آمين 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 يا رب العالمين.
listening to Dr. Omar Abdullah talking about matters of the heart here on Islamic Point of View, brought to you by KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, and the Muslim Community Center of Portland. Please follow MCCP on Facebook at facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland for weekly videos and community updates. You can support this program by going to mccpdx.org and the station at kboo.fm. You can listen to Islamic Point of View each week, Sundays at 8 a.m. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
radio's greatest application is in broadcasting mass entertainment. Probably one of the best ways to get started is to make it a hobby and build an amateur station. It will show you more quickly than anything else whether or not you can succeed in radio.
KBO.